Hey, 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 welcome everybody. You are tuned in to Simply Hanif Radio Show, and that's me, she, your girl, Simply Hanif. And today we are discussing battling depression, 10 signs it's happening to you. And I'm definitely going to talk about my journey with it. I battle it from time to time, and it can be very debilitating, physically, mentally, emotionally, and you have to fight your way through it. We have two guests today, so our first guest is Patty Blue Hayes, and let's talk a little bit about Patty, okay? So Patty is grateful to have survived her near-death divorce, an event that launched her into the darkest depths of depression. Patty's book, Wine, Sex, and Suicide, My Near-Death Divorce, shares her story of loss, vulnerability, and eventually reawakening. Through faith and hope, she moved from pain to finding her purpose, guiding other women through heartbreak. Patty founded Soul Garden Healing to help women get through their journey with her signature coaching program, You Can Heal Your Heartbreak. She's a contributing expert on Your Tangle, and her article has been syndicated to Yahoo.com, Huffington Post. Patty has a women's group trip in the planning to Romania, which I think that's kind of nice, where the participants will help in an Easter activity camp for children living in group homes. My second guest is Dr. Shyla. I hope I'm saying that right, so you guys know I hate to mess up people's names because I hate when they do with my name, so when she gets on, we'll have her correct me, of course. She is a medical doctor, an author, a blogger, and a public speaker. She inspires people to live with balance in five key areas of life: physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, and relational. I like that. She has written three books, His Delight, and You Are the Best You, which has companion workbooks, which I think when anyone writes a book, for the most part, ladies and gentlemen, we do like those workbooks, at least I do. It really helps. Shyla has practiced medicine for 14 years and worked in Nigeria and England prior to moving to the United States. She is married to her college sweetheart. They have two wonderful children together. They head the marriage ministry of King's World International Church in Chicago. They provide faith-based relationship marriage counseling to couples who are dating, engaged, and married. Together, they have co-written a book titled Staying Married, Seven Key Strategies You Cannot Do Without. Shyla enjoys reading nonfictional and self-help books. She also enjoys writing, dancing, listening to music. Shyla is active member of Toastmaster International. She blogs at shylashade.com on matters relating to balancing living. Today she will be joining us, talking about the 10 signs that is happening to you with depression. So listen, everybody, with no further ado, before we dig right into my two guests, which are waiting right now, we're going to take a small commercial break, and when we get back, we will be speaking with Patty Blue Hayes and Shyla, Dr. Shyla, and I'm going to make sure she corrects my name, everybody, so you have it correctly. In the meantime, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you want lots of chemicals and artificial stimulants? Or are you ready to try the natural alternative? It's time for you to try Revive. Packed with the power of 21 superfruits and a touch of green tea, Revive really delivers with antioxidants, nutrients, and real energy, the way nature intended.
Hi, I'm Brian Klein, CEO of Rushmore Essentials. I want you to try Revive, our brand new vitality drink. Made from 21 pure and powerful superfruits, I hand-selected for quality and blended for performance. Revive gives you that great feeling of well-being and vitality without the jitters of an energy drink. You can feel great about the quality of Revive. My family has been in the fruit business since 1939.
Revive is ideal for healthy, active people who are looking for the real energy it takes to live life to the fullest. Not just for 5 hours, but all day long, every day of the week. Buy Revive at Vitamin Shop. For more information and valuable coupons, visit our website at drinkre.com. That's drinkre.com. Revive yourself today.
Hi, this is Felicia Benson Padilla of FNB Communications, and you have been listening to the latest single from Psalmist James W. Dow, prolific worship leader, musician, songwriter, producer, and independent recording artist. For booking information, please contact FNB Communications at fnbteach@gmail.com or 646-206-6967. And be sure and visit us on Facebook. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Simply Hanif Radio Show. Please continue supporting the show by tuning in every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit our website at hanifrjordan.com and click the Simply Hanif tab for more information. Simply Hanif is a wife, mother, and mentor. Hanif brings the best interviews and conversations to you. Let's laugh, cry, grow, and drink coffee.
All right, everybody. Yes, I have my cup of coffee, and I hope that you have yours. Or if you like your tea, you can have that too. So let's go ahead and dig into this wonderful, wonderful conversation, because I think when we talk about it, we can heal. So let's go ahead and have my guest on. Hello, Patty, and hello, Dr. Shyla. Am I saying your name correct?
Shola.
Shola. Thank you.
Shola, yes.
Very important that we get that correct. So, Dr. Shola, it's a pleasure to have you on Simply Hanif Radio Show. And hello, Patty,
thank
you there?
Hi, honey. Thank you so much for getting this conversation going. And I am a tea drinker.
Oh, good. I like both, but, you know,
yeah.
We said have your cup of coffee, have your tea. So I wanted to talk about, that dark cloud of depression. We have it. Mm-hmm. A lot of women suffer from it. We just choose not to talk about it. We think we can, you know, sometimes help ourselves. And the reason why I'm bringing mm-hmm. this topic to forefront is because I suffer from it. And I had to be honest and get real and figure out what was my triggers and stuff. And I'm happy that I have the doctor on as well, because I first had to go get some blood work done and found out that my vitamin D was low. And that's one reason why I was going through some of the episodes that I was going through. So it's mm-hmm. important that we talk about that, too, and talk about your triggers. So, Patty, when you were going through your divorce, how did you know, that you were actually in a state of depression?
Mine was kind of like the perfect storm when I look back now, having the hindsight, in that for 2 years when the marriage was in trouble, I really wasn't looking at it clearly, because I wanted to believe in, you know, the concept of forever, and that he was just going through a phase and of stress. And in the last 2 years of the marriage, we were both abusing alcohol. So anytime you have, you know, a substance that you're bringing in to alter your body chemistry, and using I was using it to numb my pain mm-hmm. because I felt that there were a lot of, cruel and hurtful things that were being said. And so that was my go-to liquid for numbing the pain. And I think combined with that, I had very, very low self-worth, because if I loved myself, I would not have tolerated being treated the way that I was
mm-hmm.
being treated.
Mm-hmm.
Great viewpoint.
I had that sense inside, like I'm sure many of your listeners, we have that inner knowing, that, you know, that little whisper when we choose to be quiet that says, this isn't you and this is not right. And yet, you know, sometimes we block that out. And I think it was just this, you know, slippery slope downward where I was not feeling fulfilled. There was no joy. There was no depth to my spiritual life, certainly. There was no connection to self. So really I was kind of like lost and adrift, and living as a reflection of what he thought of me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I think that's important to understand, that we have to learn how to do self-care. And when you have self-care and self-esteem and you start loving yourself more, it's just things that you will not deal with, and you will put up your boundaries and stuff, no matter who's around you. And I love that you said, I've had that journey where I thought my value was in someone else instead of finding that value for me, faith-based, for me, for God first, and then I would see if the way that who I served loved me, unconditionally the way that he did with all my flaws, then I had to learn to love me too. And mm-hmm. I had to definitely do the work for that. Doctor, can you pronounce your last name? Someone's on our chat is trying to ask me that.
Izakoli.
Izakoli, okay. Yes. I hope you heard that. Who's in the chat asking? It's Dr. Izakoli. Thank you. I appreciate that. I needed that correction as well. So, Dr. Izakoli, how do we also, you know, how can a woman identify, give us at least 2-3 signs that she can identify that she's actually in a state of depression?
Okay. So it's interesting that the title of this topic is 10 Signs It's Happening to You, because as doctors, we have a questionnaire that we ask our patients. It's composed of 9 questions and a 10th question that covers them all. But a couple of points, and some of these that really raise red flags, because usually we take all 10 questions together. But the ones that raise the most red flags are, 1, thoughts that you would be better off dead or hurting yourself in some way. So that, you know, that is a red flag. You know, well, you know, I don't want to live. I'm better off dead. Maybe, and some people don't articulate that as a conscious thought, like, I want to kill myself. But things like, oh, I wish I could just go to sleep and never wake up. You know, that's a thought of being better off dead, because, I mean, if you go to sleep and never wake up, that's what. Some people also think things like, oh, man, if only I could have an accident on this road. They've not articulated to themselves, I wish I was dead, but these are ways in which these thoughts come. Another one is feeling down, depressed, or hopeless. Of course, that's kind of obvious, right? Like, you feel down, your mood is low, and, you know, hopelessness of the situation, where in that you just look around and you just can't see your way out, like, okay,
and why
is
that? I asked that question because I had an episode, I believe 3 weeks ago, and I had to fight my way out of it. It was so debilitating. I could not. I didn't want to get up. When you say, you know, you want to lay down and just not get up, I didn't want to get up. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do anything. The kids are asking for something, and I'm just like, oh, I can't
and
shake this. I couldn't shake it. And crying, and you don't know why you're really crying. And I think that sometimes there's triggers, and usually I can, for most of us, we could figure out what's going on, but this is the one time I could not figure out why I was in that state, and I'm still writing and trying to figure out what triggered it.
And you said why. So the thing is, this unfortunately is the nature of depression. If you ask someone with diabetes, why is your blood sugar high? The answer to that is because I have diabetes. When you ask someone with depression, why do you feel like that? The answer is because I have depression. Depression is a clinical condition. It's not just I feel bad, you know. Sometimes people feel as though depression is not a quote-unquote real thing.
Oh, it's real.
It's unfortunate that given how advanced our society is, there's still a lot of stigma attached to behavioral/mental mental health issues.
Especially in the African-American community.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, people want to deny, you know, the problem or blame maybe a circumstance. That's not to say that circumstances can't cause depression. They certainly can, you know, and that we even give a name. We call it situational depression. Like when Patty was talking about how all the things she was going through, if she hadn't gone through that, she may not have gone through a depression, but she may have. You know, we don't know that she wouldn't have gone through a depression, because depression is an illness more so than just a state of things. If you know, I hope I'm communicating that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that there's no help, and it doesn't mean that there's no hope. And there are times that you do have to fight your way out of it.
Man, and I don't know, Pat, if you felt like this some days where, you know, the physical pain. You didn't jog, you didn't run. You're physically in pain. And
the back, the neck, the shoulders.
Oh, well, it's
Yeah, and Hanif, if it if it helps you to know, I also, several weeks ago, was going through something where I didn't feel the joy that I typically had felt.
Right.
And I was wondering, you know, is this something physical? Is it emotional? Is it spiritual? And the difference with today was that I had the awareness to realize and recognize that my, you know, energy was low and that my thoughts were kind of on that lower frequency and
mm-hmm.
that my energy was drained. And, you know, then I knew to cry when I felt like crying, just let the tears flow because it's just a release that's needing to come out, and then asking for help. And I'm also going to be getting some blood work done because as women, you know, we have so many fluctuations of hormones and depending on the age that we are. And I also realized for me, I moved to an area where there's a lot of fog. And I remember growing up back east and I would have this seasonal affective disorder.
Seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah, but that physical pain that you talk about, that was the reason. And I was suicidal and I did try and take my life. And it was because of that hollow, empty feeling and pain. It was a pain that felt like it went beyond physicality, but actually was my soul being shredded by barbed wire. It was unbearable.
I get it, and I'm
yeah.
glad we're having a conversation because I've been in and out of it, and I'll just give you a little bit of my story. So, being a child who is a product of rape and also a survivor of rape and molestation and abuse, I usually knew what triggered it. And so I went and got, even though it's not popular, I went and got counseling, things like that, to figure out how can I manage my life and be better and not let that define me. That I'm more than what I was born, and I'm more than what happened to me. So I did the work. And I had kids and a husband, and I've been married 15 years now, and I'm, you know, excited about it. But as I got a little older, I'm 43 now. I don't know if it's a hormone base or what. I'm telling you, I just would get in and out of these bad depressions and physically could not move. And I would just be crying. And no one knows what to do. You know, my husband doesn't. Men have to fix things. So if he can't fix it, he doesn't understand it. You know, and I have sons. So they're just like their father. What can I do to help you, Mom? And really, they don't need that burden. So what I say is, you know, just close my door. Give me a couple minutes. Children will make you snap out of it, believe me. At one point or the other, you have to get up and be mom. But for the first time, I laid down, and I didn't want to get up ever. And that scared me to even have that thought. And so something birthed in me and said, I need to talk about it. And we need to talk about women, you know, understanding the battle of depression. It is a battle, but you can be on top. And what 10 signs do they look for so they can go and get the help? So I'm so honored to have you, doctor, on the show as well, because
sometimes you
feel like you're walking around and it's normal. It becomes, now that's the crazy
part. The new
part.
Normal, becomes, but it's not.
Right, it becomes your normal.
Normal.
And I want our listeners to know it isn't normal and go get the help.
Absolutely. So, like I was saying, there's a questionnaire that we use, and nowadays you're supposed to screen every patient that comes into your office for depression. It's still sort of sometimes you come in, like if you come in for a cut finger, you know, more likely than not they're not going to ask you about, you know, if you're feeling down or depressed or whatever, because the patient look at you like, what's wrong with you, doc? I just came in for my cut finger. But, generally speaking, if I suspect that, you know, someone might be having depression issues, I try to bring it up because it's so hard sometimes for people to bring it up. So the number one question is, and these questions are all scored, and actually I think I can send it to you the questions we ask, I can send it to you. It's called the PHQ-9 test. And
absolutely,
you can, I don't know,
do.
Send it to your subscribers or, you know, I could send you
yes,
like the PDF or
me.
Something.
I can tell them, hey, everyone,
you know,
I will send it to you so you will know if this is
exactly.
something that you're going through and please
mm-hmm.
get the help.
And then they can bring it up with their doctor. You can even take it to your doctor and say, look, doc, I did this test, you know, and I think this is why I've been feeling and this way. And most doctors will be, you know, only too happy to help you work through the issues. So the number one question is little interest or pleasure in doing things. Now, we're not talking about a casual loss of interest in things that you don't really care about. We're talking about an utter loss of motivation to go to places, to do things you like, to take care of your kids. So that's pretty serious. And then the questions are scored. Does this happen nearly every day? Does it happen more than half the days? And does it happen several days? Then the next one is feeling down, depressed, or hopeless, like I explained before. That
Absolutely.
Sort of utter hopelessness of not being able to see your way out or I'll never get beyond this. Number three is trouble falling asleep, staying asleep, or sleeping too much. So,
see, that's my
this...
problem. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to. And some of it has to do with my autoimmune disease, lupus. And lupus triggers.
Right.
I want to stress that with people that, you know, if you have autoimmune disease, it does trigger your depression. It just does. And can you imagine? And I got diagnosed almost 2 years
mm-hmm.
ago. So, the insomnia is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, lupus triggers depression, diabetes, heart disease. There are certain medical conditions that trigger depression. And in people with these conditions, we as doctors are, you know, we watch out and we try to ask people all the time. So the insomnia is part of it. Some people sleep too much. Some people feel tired or have very, you know, number four point is feeling very tired and having no energy. So you're going from a person who's usually maybe vibrant and bubbly, and then all you want to do is lay in bed. Poor appetite or overeating. So some people eat too little. They don't eat. They don't want to eat. Some people just, you know, they eat all the bags of potato chips that they find laying around.
Right.
Why is it always potato chips?
I just love them. I know. I love them.
You know,
so
it's
bad.
Never
that
carrots,
so
you know. So I've certainly dealt with patients who, as a result of depression, they became overweight, which make them even more depressed, you know, because they're telling me, look, I'm eating potato chips so I can feel better, but I feel bad because now I've put on weight, and now they're getting more depressed. So overeating is a big, big problem with depression. Number six is feeling bad about yourself. So the feelings of low self-esteem. I feel I'm a failure. I feel like I've let myself down. I feel like I've let my family down on the background of not having a reason to feel like that. You understand? For example, if you walk out of your house and shoot somebody dead for no reason, you should feel bad about yourself, right? But if you are just living your normal life and everything and you just feel persistently bad about yourself, you know, I feel like I've let my family down. I feel like I'm a failure. Some people even feel bad for being depressed, which makes matters worse. I mean, I've seen the whole spectrum. You feel like I should be stronger. I should feel better.
And I feel
certainly...
like that. I'm someone mm-hmm. that I'm a businesswoman, so I'm always
yes.
on top of my game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a mother and a wife, and I love what I do. I know how to turn it off and be home and be. But when I can't, I actually, this time, and I'm sure Patty mm-hmm. can relate, I actually felt bad when I can't be. I felt bad for being depressed. I felt bad for actually
exactly.
taking that break and taking
yep.
it lasted for a few weeks, and I just shut myself off from the world. And I also
yeah.
thought maybe that's
yeah.
what I needed to do at the same time. Maybe
yeah.
I just needed to just
step back. You know, sometimes you do have
yeah.
to take a step back. I realized that when I start to get overwhelmed, I start to get depressed because I start to feel bad. I'm feeling bad about myself. And now I feel bad about feeling bad because, hey, your life is great. You've got a great job. There are so many people who will want what you have. Why do you feel bad? And then you beat yourself up for feeling bad, and then you feel even worse.
I know. So it's such a vicious cycle.
Such a vicious cycle.
It really is. It's a vicious cycle, and I just want to
exactly.
be able to. I want people to understand that they're validated, and that
yes.
we get it.
and that we care. And yes, it hurts. And yes, and yes, it's like something takes over your whole body and you can't move and you can't think and you can't. Yes, that is a true emotion. That's a true feeling. But I want them to also understand that there's hope. And do not be ashamed for getting help. I cried when I had to take that drive to my doctor. But I did it.
You have
because
to.
I knew
you have
I couldn't help myself. I just couldn't help myself anymore. And not everybody may need to be on medicine. And I don't know, Patty, if you had to. But for me, once they did the blood work and realized that my so many things were going on with me, that I need to get out and walk more. I need to get more sun when I could because I have lupus, so I can't really. I'm not supposed to be directly in the sun. I needed to take a certain medication. Well, not even. I don't even call it medicine. So you can get it at a health food store for my vitamin D. Just so that. And once I started doing that, I started feeling so much better. And just I'm just honest with myself. Do I suffer from depression? Yes. It's like an ongoing thing. It will be there. I just have to fight every day for it.
Exactly.
And that's just mental illness to me. It's something that you have to fight.
Really. You have to fight for
it every day.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you have to, at some point, come to a point where you can make peace with an imperfect life. Because part of what
that's
depression does, it changes your mind. It changes your thinking to the point where you feel everything should be good, but everything is all bad, and I can't get out of this. And, oh, my goodness, this is horrible. But in reality, though, everything is not all bad, you know. It's not perfect by any means. And, you know, in some ways, life will never be perfect. I mean, we live on Earth.
It isn't. Life is really a stepping stool, correct, right, to your better self. That's what the journey is. The journey is imperfection, and it helps you grow and be better because we're always evolving, and that's the beauty about life. The thing is, what Patty went through, I do believe in triggers. I do believe what she, like you said, condition, like a situation can bring it on, and that I understood.
Absolutely.
But when you don't have a situation.
Situation. Exactly. When you don't have a situation.
And that's this time for me, this episode. I don't know, Patty, if you've dealt with that, but this episode for me, I didn't have an issue, and I couldn't figure out what it was.
So, and, you know, I think by nature we want to, like you said, you know, find the answer. Why? What's happening? What's going on? And if I can, you know, introduce a different concept from, you know, battling or fighting it is allowing it and making peace with it and opening up to those lower emotions and the depression and, you know, maybe even asking the depression itself, what are you trying to show me? What do I need to release you? And going into those self-care modes and, you know, maybe even seeing some of these things as gifts because and that does take some perspective and hindsight because when I was
I get it. It's funny that you said that. I have a girlfriend that sent me a beautiful letter and I'm going to read it on air later, but in a few is what she said about depression when she understood what I was going through for people like me. But I want you to continue what you were saying.
Well, just because, you know, these challenges are gifts that we then impart to other people by sharing our stories. Because someone listening now has been, you know, sleeping in, eating the potato chips, thinking about not waking up, and they're hearing this conversation with, you know, three women who, you know, have either been there, done that, and now they're not feeling alone. They're feeling lifted. They're feeling that there's some hope. They're feeling that they're not isolated. And so that's the gift of, I think, the experiences that we go through. And, you know, did I want to have this experience of, you know, being in a psychiatric hospital for 5 days after trying to end my life? No. But my hope is that by sharing that story, someone is touched and moved to just not feel that shame and that isolation and that there's something wrong with them. Because we're all just human beings and we're all on this scale of emotion. you know? Yeah. And the ebb and flow of life, there's the contrast of feeling joy and elation and then feeling, you know, if only I could just sleep and not wake up. And I guess it is just about accepting and allowing those emotions to flow through us. And one thing that really helped me and helps me get through those times is trying to keep perspective, and that's when I like to incorporate the gratitude practice, because there is always something to be grateful for.
Yep.
Yeah. Always.
My motto was help someone. Help someone else that needs something.
Yeah.
When you're giving, it does something better than any medication can ever give you. And so my motto is, as long as I'm out here, and I'm not talking about, well, the people that feel that they have to do to get something, because that's, please let me be clear, because you don't want to do that in life. But you're just giving because that's what your heart has called you to do, and you're helping someone else in need. It just makes you feel so much better as a human being.
It does.
It was a quote that that one of the girls, one of my friends I was telling you about, she said, depression is a master teacher. It appears to remind you that you can feel deeply. And I was just like, wow, I never thought of it like that. And she just made me look at it in a whole different way. And I will read the rest of the letter later after we take our break. But I want the doctor definitely to finish up the 10 things. I know I have another person asking, what is the 10 signs? So I'm going to let you finish the 10 signs. And after that, we'll take a small break. I'm going to come back and read this letter. But go right ahead, doctor.
Okay. So where was I? I said number six, feeling bad about yourself.
Yes. Yes.
And number seven, trouble concentrating on things like reading a newspaper or watching TV. Not some of, because there are some tasks that are really complicated in as of themselves that you would probably have trouble concentrating after a few minutes. But, you know, simple things like reading a newspaper, watching TV, things that don't really take much mental processes or doing. Then number eight, we call that in medicine, we call it psychomotor retardation, basically moving very slowly or speaking so slowly that other people can even notice that you're just talking slowly, moving slowly. And just to say this, some people, instead of having that psychomotor retardation, some people actually become overly restless, especially men.
Yes.
So they could become overly restless, agitated, or angry, you know, and you think that, oh, what's this person, what's going on with them? I actually had a patient come in who was exhibiting that all the signs of depression, but he was agitated and restless and kept on talking about, you know, how angry he was and all that. I was like, yeah, I looked at him, I thought to myself, yep, this is depression, but just a little bit different way of manifesting.
Yeah, it manifests in that way. I agree with you. I agree with you on that. It's a different way for sometimes for men. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So on the ninth one, which I mentioned already, is thoughts of hurting yourself, being better off dead. And also, if a person has a suicidal intent or suicidal plans, you know, obviously, I mean, that's a clear sign of depression. And people who actually decide, okay, they're going to kill themselves, they want to do blah, 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 again, to have, you know, you meet this all the time. It's amazing how many people actually suffer from depression, and that's underlying or contributing to a lot of their illnesses. A lady came in, and she said she was going to kill herself. So I said, because one of the things you ask them to is you want to know if they have a plan or not. She said she's going to go drive into traffic.
Wow.
I was like, oh, no. Somebody call 911 right now. And, you know, I had her taken to be seen, you know, as an emergency psychiatric case, because she was actually going to go out and drive into traffic
and do
something, harm herself and others. And as doctors, when people say they have a suicidal, usually when they have a suicidal plan or intent, you the next thing you're thinking of, okay, is you need to send them to the hospital in order for them to be safe, not just, oh, I want to commit them or something like that, just for their own safety, because at least if they can keep you alive another day, tomorrow you may not feel that way. But if you feel that way and you do it, there will be no tomorrow for you. The tenth question is, like I said, it actually encompasses all the other questions. The tenth question is this. Have these problems made it difficult for you to do your work, take care of things at home, or get along with other people? It's very important to know whether these issues are actually, you know, whether they're just passing things where, well, you know, I felt I didn't feel interested in doing this, but I'm fine now. You know, there are some people who have these problems on a lower level. Actually, there's a name for it. It's called dysthymia. And they can pretty much, they're kind of just sort of low mood type people, and, you know, they cope with life just fine. So the question you're very important to ask is the person, if the problem is affecting their lives, if it's making it difficult to do their work, to get out of bed. You know, if someone comes and tells me I've been lying in my bed for a week and I haven't gotten out of bed to go to work, to me that's a big thing, because, I mean, I can't imagine not getting up to go to work and just laying there, you know. There's consequences to that. You could get fired. So if you're that much in your mind to where you don't even, it's just like, yeah, look, I don't even care, then definitely I'm you know, I get really worried and really concerned. So like I said, I'll be very happy to send you what we call the PHQ-9, and you can just distribute it to your subscribers.
I can't wait to do that, because it's so important, and this is such a good topic. I have more questions. I have some for you, Patty, as well. And we're going to take a small break, but when we get back, I'm going to read the letter that had blessed me during the time I was going through my depression. I still don't know what triggered it to this day. But
sometimes
I am going to
never
read it
find
and tell
out.
You. No, well, I just snapped out of it. At some point, I have two wonderful sons and a great husband, and at some point, I needed to snap out of it for me first.
For you, yeah.
For me first, and say that it's okay, and give myself permission that it was okay for me to seclude myself for a couple of weeks from everybody. It was okay, and maybe I needed the time away, and we'll talk about that when we get right back, everybody. We're going to take this, actually it's going to be a song break by Melba Moore, What Can I Do to Survive? Perfect song.
Okay.
What we had is just
Hey guys, I'm Coco.
I'm Clara.
And I'm Seth.
We are Perfect Sex.
And we wanted to invite you all to come check out our music at PerfectSexMusic.com.
We do it all. You want blues? We got blues.
You want hip-hop? Perfect Sex is hip-hop.
And if you like dance, guess what? We do that too.
We do it all.
So if you want to hear some cool music that's different than everything else out there,
check out PerfectSexMusic.com.
Now back to keeping it real with Simply Hanif.
We love you, Hanif!
All right, that was Perfect Sex. Love you guys, too. Okay, everybody. So I wanted to read this letter from a good girlfriend of mine, and it came at the right time. It was in the middle of my depression, and these are her kind words. So she said, Hanif, you know, thank God for your light in this world. We are soul sisters. You are protected and safe. Ask Archangel Michael to embrace you while you sleep and just taste the perfection of this moment. Praise God for your loving husband, your amazingly talented children, the light you share with the world, and the treasures God granted you when he whispered his purpose for your life and you listened and pursued it with all your might. Your precious life, your voice, and all the lives you touch, you are a divine rock star. Allow yourself to feel whatever surfaces with compassion to yourself. Do not judge the pain you are feeling. Depression is a master teacher. It appears to remind you that you can feel deeply, that your capacity of empathy is off the charts, and it also is asking of you to discern when what you are feeling is actually yours, or if you are processing others' emotional and spiritual debris. That was deep to me. Make sure to continue to integrate in your daily prayers and meditation for protection. She said, I believe you to be an empath, and with that comes a great responsibility and discipline with your spiritual daily self-care. Ask God every time a feeling starts coming over you if this feeling is yours, and simply for the asking if this feeling isn't yours, intended to leave your body. Be blessed, continue to pray, and you're going to be just fine. Honor and respect your body keep counting your blessings, breathe, and let the anxiety out. Do get your rest. That may be what your body is trying to tell you to do. And don't feel guilty for giving your body what it needs right now. You are safe, and God's plans is working perfectly in your life. Depression is not a punishment or a sign that you are not aligned with your highest good. This is just another life lesson in Earth school. It is another virtue God is granting you, self-compassion. Be as kind and patient and non-judgmental towards yourself as you would to your loved ones. Be proud of yourself, as I am and as God is. And know, I acknowledge your pain. It is real. It is debilitating. It is all-consuming, and it does not negotiate with us. But pain is also an indication that you are alive and that you are choosing to feel, that you are not numb. It is celebrating your healthy heart and how much you exercise the power of muscle on a daily basis. So thank you for reminding you that you are a child of God and that it doesn't matter how challenging this life gets, God will never forsake you and continue blessings. And I mean, for me, it's not for everybody that's not a believer, but I am. For me, it was something that helped shake me to get back on my feet and get it together and to listen. My body. And so that was very deep for me, that it wasn't a punishment, that depression isn't a punishment. That just rang with me. And that was just a beautiful letter, and I wanted to share that.
It was very beautiful. Cool. Yeah.
Oh,
very
cool. It was deep.
You know, what the one thing that she wrote in that letter about, you know, is this feeling ours? Is that really ours? Or, you know, are we picking up on, you know, someone else's energy, being more of an empathetic scale? The other mm-hmm. concept, which is kind of fascinating, is the energy that is actually surrounding us when we are in utero. And I was adopted. And over the course of years, I mean, honestly, I didn't really kind of piece this together until last year when I was at a Hay House event. And through a circumstance there, I realized that my biological mother was depressed and had a lot of sadness about adoption and depression. And I went through this, you know, either situationally throughout my life as a teenager, and then, you know, it would kind of like ebb and flow and it would recur. But there is scientific evidence about, you know, the amniotic fluid that we're surrounded in for that gestational period does have an imprint and influence on us. You know, if you look at a pregnant mother who's stressed, that baby is going to come into the world with, you know, elevated cortisol levels.
Mm-hmm.
So
oh, yeah.
That is also a really interesting concept to think back to, you know, just that the outside influences that really can kind of affect our emotional state of being.
It makes sense because just with my mom's surrounding, knowing that she was raped and had to have that secret, and I can imagine what she went through for 9 months of holding me, debating if she should keep me, debating it, what she should do.
Yeah.
Because she knew back then she was going to be put out of her home and her career had stopped and she couldn't go to the service and continue her nursing at the time. And then I was born early. So to top it off, she was actually, she was attacked on a bus and she went into labor. I was born at 7 months. So just being around all that tragedy doesn't surprise me that I go through the waves of depression myself. Doesn't at all, you know?
Yeah.
What advice would you give a woman right now, no matter the age, and anyone can answer, if she's feeling like there's no hope, man or woman, let me be clear on that, and they're feeling like there's no hope, and they're at their wits' end. What advice would you give them to do today?
Number one, talk to somebody. Talk to somebody. You can email me through my Facebook because I'm pretty responsive on my Facebook page. That's www.facebook.com/Shola.shade. I can send that to you as well. But talk to someone. The first thing, talk to someone. And for me, I tell people that all the time. In any situation where you feel that, I don't know, whether it's marital, depression, anything, talk to someone. Because that person can either tell you, I've been there. The person might be able to tell you, I can help you get an appointment with a doctor. You know, talk to someone. There's no need for you to suffer alone. There, you'd reach out to your sisters. When I say sisters, I mean there's people who are only too willing to help. Talk to someone. And then the second thing I would say too is connect with God. You know, take time off to pray. You know, but why I put talk to someone first is because, you know, sometimes we need God to speak to us through people, right? So that's why
I
put the talk first. And then sometimes another thing, I'm a Christian, and in religious circles, Christian circles, sometimes people don't like to talk about those type of things. And they'll be like, I'm all right, I'm just praying about it. But then their life is going downhill. So that's why I put talk to someone first before I put connect with God, because just having someone in your corner that can just help you, even if it's sometimes it's somebody to vent or rant, you know, sometimes just getting it all off your chest helps, you know, and definitely see your doctor because, you know, these are not things we haven't seen before. I've had patients who I've seen for, you know, like been seeing for a couple of months and they say, doc, you know, I have this situation, and then they burst into tears. I'm like, why didn't you tell me this before? You know, that kind of thing. It's like, this is what I'm here for. You know, we realize that depression is an illness. is a condition and we want to do everything to fix it. On the flip side is that, you know, there are other things you can do. The things you said early on, you know, help somebody and gratitude. Those things are really, really key, because as a doctor, I could give you pills and send you to counseling. But, you know, what do you do at home on your own?
Right, and it's what you do at home on your own. Patty, what advice would you give to do things at home on your own?
Well, definitely also the asking for support, and I just wanted to add on to that sometimes the support doesn't come from those closest to you or that inner circle, especially in my case with a divorce, there was family that went by the wayside and even some friendships that deteriorated. So kind of, reaching out to an outer circle, an outer community, finding support online. The suicide hotline, the national hotline, if someone's really, like, in just despair, they're not just for people who are, you know, ready to take their life right at the moment. They just want to talk to people and help them through whatever circumstance and thinking that they might be going through. I am a big fan of creating a filter, and the biggest thing that I would recommend is turning off the news. So people have this stream of the news on a loop, and most of the news and the world events are, you know, they're reporting on the tragedies and the crises. Put on some beautiful music and, you know, just that self-preservation, like the way that, you know, you just decided, like, let me shut the bedroom door and just, I need to kind of nest and preserve and allow the feelings to process through. Hmm. I also it's critical to feel, express, and release the emotions. Mm-hmm. Set the scene. Turn the lights off. Light a candle. Put on some really sad music. Cry. Journal. Let it out. Then once it's released, you know, then go for a gentle walk outside, getting that sunshine. Make a little bit of a nutritious meal. You know, balance like that low energy release then with something that is nurturing and, you know, providing that self-care. Make that effort. You know, it does take an effort, but...
It will, and you got to fight for it. You got to fight to live, and I agree with that. And I also want our listeners to understand that even when you start losing people, accept the journey. Everyone isn't meant to go with you on your next level. So, like when I got diagnosed with lupus, and you can't really do a lot. I lost a lot of people that I thought were friends, but at the end of the day, it was actually better for me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't realize certain people are toxic to you until they're no longer around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when you start...
You know what I mean? And then you realize, wait a minute, I'm so much better. So accept the process. Yes, it's going to hurt. I always say growing pains hurt. They do. So when you lose people that you invested in, it will hurt you. But know that sometimes you're more invested in someone than they are with you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are just on the ride for the coattail ride is what I call it, and not really for the long haul. But those rare people that you do get, you cherish. And I found that my sisterhood, the letter that I got was someone that I actually met off of Facebook. That's how that sisterhood created.
Hmm.
And it was just off of, you know, we would just post positive things. And one day I posted that I can't get up this bed. Like, I don't know what else to do. Like, I can't take this depression anymore. It's so debilitating. I hate it. And she sent me this letter.
Mm. Wow.
So reach out. You use Facebook for everything else. Why not reach out? You never know.
Somebody actually, weirdly enough, just before I came on the show, somebody on Facebook just sent me an email. Like, you know, I need to talk to you, someone I don't know. I'm like, yeah, sure, let's talk, you know. That's what we're here for. We're here to help each other.
And when we forget that, that's when life becomes sad. I really believe that our purpose is to uplift one another. And when you're busy doing that, then God takes care of you. When you're busy helping someone else, He takes care of you. He really does. And we have to remember that that's what it's all about, uplifting the human community again. and so we all can heal. And
yes,
I love
ma'am.
What you guys have told your stories here. I just so appreciate it. But before we close, we're about to close, I would like, Doctor, for you to tell people how to reach you again, what is your website, and, you know, how they can get in touch with you. And, Patty, of course, I want you to do the same.
Okay. My website is www.shalashade.com. That's www.shalashade.com. And you can email me through my website. You can email me through Facebook also. I have a Facebook page. It's called Dr. Shala Shade Ezokoli. I can be reached that way. I also have on my page, there's information for my office as well. So if you want to book it, if people want to book an appointment to see me, absolutely they can come. And I'll also be able to get that all that information across to you so you can send it out to your email list or your subscribers.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm if you live in the Chicagoland area, I'm definitely reachable. And I'm happy to, you know, just help out in whatever way I can. If a person's suffering with depression, they don't have to suffer alone. You know, a lot
Thank
of us
doctor.
Have been there for in various times, and we can help others. We can help others.
Thank you so much, doctor. I appreciate you being on Simply Honey Radio Show, and I hope we continue to lift and change. Patty.
I am found at pattybluehaze.com. So it's Patty with a Y. Hayes is Hayes, like Sam. Blue, like the color. I missed that. And Facebook as well, Patty Blue Hayes. And I have also just, there's email information to contact me. I'm happy to answer any emails from anyone who might be going through a divorce or breakup. And I have a Healing from Heartbreak book available on Amazon, as well as the Wine, Sex, and Suicide book. And those are both on Amazon.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. I love that. Isn't it funny? Through what we go through, God births something else. So, Patty, what you went through and doctor, all your experience, you're able to speak about it, blog about it, and help your community. And Patty, your divorce births your mission. Isn't that something? That is just something, right? That's why I said we need to embrace the process. Just embrace it. Does it hurt? Absolutely. I tell people, I'm not going to lie to you, it hurts. The grunt things are no joke. So I won't say, oh, no, you'll be okay, and, oh, just pray about it, because that makes me angry when people tell me just to pray about it, because I say to myself as a believer, and, doctor, I know you can understand this, as a believer, who said, of course I'm praying. Now, I've done everything I could do. Now I need to
pray. You know, who said I wasn't praying, you know? But even the Bible says faith without works is dead. You pray and you act. So the default is should be any that we're praying anyway. But, you know, what's the next thing? You know, you should pray about it, but seek help wherever you can. Because when God wants to bless you, he sends people into your life.
That's true. That's true. Oh, you guys are so wonderful. This was such a good show, and I hope to have you guys on again. I'm doing different topics all the time, and I just want to touch life. And, doctor, I got to have you back on for healthy marriages soon. And
hey,
Patty,
no problem.
I want to definitely have you on speaking about surviving divorce.
Yes. Thank you so much for opening up the conversation and the work that you're doing.
Yes.
Thank you. I always say my whatever I went through has birthed this, I'm telling you. So I'm all about self-love, self-care, should I say, self-care and self-esteem. We have to have it, and when we don't have it, it trickles down in everything. We become nasty people. We just do.
Yes.
You become bitter. You become angry. You become that person nobody wants to be around. I've been there. When you're in a state of depression and when the doctor said, you know, feeling that anger, I was doing that, ruining relationships. I had to go back and apologize. Now, I may never get those relationships back, but you have to go back and own up to, you know, to the destruction. And I always tell the people, it's time to own up to the chaos that you cause in your own life.
Hey.
Period. And when we do that, you can be a better person. You know, anyone's willing to hear your true apology. No one wants to hear your sorry, but they're willing to hear your true apology.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you guys again for being on Simply Honey Radio Show. Everybody, this concludes our show. Remember, I'm going to leave you with a few last thoughts that I always leave everyone, and that is please check your heart and be mindful of your thoughts, your words, and your actions. You may be the only God someone today. God bless.
Yep.
Thank you for tuning in to the Simply Honey Radio Show. Please continue supporting the show by tuning in every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit our website at HanifRJordan.com and click the Simply Hanif tab for more information. Simply Hanif is a wife, mother, and mentor. Hanif brings the best interviews and conversations to you. Let's laugh, cry, grow, and drink coffee.